This is a Tierra Nueva podcast, the second episode of Jail Ministry Share, which means, of course, our chaplains that bring the gospel to men and women in the Skagit County Jail share about the joys, struggles, breakthroughs, strategies, and transformations we witness. For the most part, our participants today are sharing about the centurion from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. First up is Pastor Gracie Ekblad, Tierra Nueva co-founder, co-general director, and the co-lead of the People's Seminary.
So Emily and I went in the jail. We were looking at the story of the Roman centurion in Luke 7, 1 to 10. And this has been kind of a challenging text for me because it's kind of complicated and I find rather challenging to get people to understand just the background and to relate to all the foreignness of the text. Felt like I was really happy that the Holy Spirit gave me a key to the story and a way to connect for myself first and then also a way to connect in with the women there. And that was to kind of start with a spoiler, as I have referred to this kind of tactic that I think the Holy Spirit's given me lately, is to just say what you're going to talk about in the beginning rather than try to build up to something and the women aren't sure where you're going. So the key to this story for me was that Jesus loves to respond to people who don't feel worthy. He is amazed and marvels at people who are afraid to ask for his help when they need it. But since we know that Jesus is a friend of sinners and a very present help in a time of need, we shouldn't be surprised that in this story we see Jesus healing the slave of this guy who's an enemy of the people in general. I mean, not personally an enemy, because it says that he actually loved the nation of Israel and he helped build their synagogue, but he was part of the bad gang, so to speak. But we see Jesus really going out of his way, choosing to respond to the request of this guy. We made the connection with the women, like, wow, maybe some of you women don't feel worthy of having Jesus help when you need. You feel like you have no other person to turn to. And we're going to just let that train go by for a minute. Anyway, just invited the women to see themselves as kind of a Roman centurion, to dare to ask Jesus for something that they needed. And so we went around the circle and all the women shared. They felt excited that Jesus was excited about this guy, that he was amazed at this guy who would dare to ask. And we kind of noticed that Jesus really went out of his way to respond to this guy in a way that we could ask for as well. And us being in a place where we're not physically close to Jesus, because Jesus has gone to be at the right hand of the Father. And the Roman centurion, though he had the opportunity to have Jesus in his house, chose to just believe that Jesus could heal his slave from far away. And so the women noticed, wow, we're kind of in a similar situation where we have a need and we've heard about Jesus, like the centurion had heard about Jesus, but have never met him personally. Yet we could ask for a miracle in our own lives like he did. And they had confidence after studying this passage just for a few minutes that he would actually respond to them. So some of the requests were, I have a broken heart because my fiance died and I really need God to heal my heart. And so we prayed about that. And then another woman said, I have a broken arm. And it would be so great if I didn't have to go to the doctor and get that fixed, if Jesus could just heal me now. So Emily prayed for that woman, and she looked so like surprised and kind of like in a state of bliss. And we said, what's going on? And she said, well, actually, I'm feeling heat all over my arm and I feel something happening. And Emily, I think you said that you felt something happening as well with the arm, right? Yep. So yeah, that was cool. And then another woman said that, well, I don't even know Jesus. I'd like to dare to know Jesus. And you know, I don't know anything about him. And so we led her in just a simple invitational prayer to invite Jesus into her life. So yeah, we went away amazed ourselves and feeling like it's okay to start a Bible study with a punchline. It's okay to start a study like that with kind of a spoiler, because it gets the women kind of primed to expect what's coming, the good news that's coming in the rest of the time.
Next is Emily Wilkes. She works with us in Family Support Center, Pastoral Advocacy, and Geo Ministry.
And yes, I was in with Gracie on Sunday, and I think two other things kind of stood out to me. One was in the first pod that we were in, and there was one lady in particular that I hadn't seen before, and the other ladies were kind of trying to convince her to sit down and join us, and they're, you know, saying, yeah, come, you know, it'll be good. And she seemed quite tentative, and we were kind of inviting her and just kind of saying what's going to be happening, and, you know, trying to make it low pressure. And so she kind of sat, but she almost kind of sat with her back to us and was kind of half listening, but wasn't really engaging. And just during the session, how she ended up kind of really getting into the story and actually analyzing things for herself. And I mean, she even disagreed with some things. You know, Gracie would say, well, you know, I think that the story shows this, and you know, she kind of said, well, no, I don't think so. You know, I think this it shows that the centurion, I think that he was being bossy, and so she kind of said, you know, I think that a lot of characters in the Bible are bossy. Even though she was kind of expressing quite a strong opinion, it was great to see her just get involved, and her posture kind of completely changed, and, you know, she kind of turned around and joined in the circle and faced us more and was answering things. So that was, just cool to see how, firstly, how the others were encouraging people to join in, and that kind of showed that they felt like it was something worthwhile. And then just how this one lady in particular kind of joined in and was analyzing the text for herself and wasn't just accepting what was being said. You know, she was using her own mind and sharing her own thoughts, which I thought was great. And then I think the other thing that stood out to me in the last group that we did, Gracie was sitting with her back, I think, to most of the other ladies who hadn't joined in, but I was sitting kind of facing them and just seeing how, the number of ladies that were kind of lending an ear to what we were doing, and some of them were sitting on the stairs quite close to where we were talking and were kind of looking over a lot, and you could kind of see we're trying to hear what was being said, even if they hadn't, you know, come directly to join us and sitting down and being part of it. Quite a few of the ladies got quite emotional during the time that we were there, and it was very visible that God was doing something and that it was something different. So a lot of the ladies were looking over and just watching. And then right at the end, a lady who had been on the complete opposite side of the room, we'd actually already stood up to leave, and she just kind of came and walked over and just stood there. She didn't even say anything. She kind of stood, and I think she was just looking at Gracie. And so we were kind of, Gracie was trying to figure out what she wanted, if she needed something, if she wanted to write a prayer request. And one of the other ladies was encouraging, and she just said, just ask for prayer. You need prayer. Just ask for prayer. So again, it was that thing of, you know, the ladies showing that it was something that they thought that was worthwhile and they wanted to invite other people into. And this lady just broke down and said that it was her son's birthday on that day. And she was obviously just really upset that she wasn't with her son. And so we were able to just in a very quick, I mean, we were on the way out already. I think the guard was waiting for us at the door at that time, but just kind of, you know, pray for her and just give her a little bit of encouragement. But it was just that thing of, you know, that even the ladies that aren't in the group while we're doing the Bible study, that it's something very visible, that they're watching what's happening and that they can kind of see that that there's something real to it. And it's not just kind of an intellectual, let's study something new, but it was something more to it. So yeah, that really stood out to me.
Matt Mallion is next. He's a longtime chaplain with us at Tierra Nueva and the founder and director of Underground Writing.
So this is Matt. I was in the jail on Thursday with Kevin, and we did the same passage. And kind of our inroad was, I mean, I like that idea also of not, or saying the punchline at the start, as it were. And we talked about how the passage really discusses worthiness, unworthiness, and how Christ is not, he doesn't depend on our worthiness to, as a thing we get rewarded for. Like, he's more concerned about the heart issues and the need, and he responds to those who ask for help. We were in Q-Pod and around a table with five guys, I think, and had a good study. And at the end, one of the things that I kind of pointed out was that Christ, not only does he heal the servant from far off, but I believe he respects the centurion's. The centurion has said a number of times that he feels unworthy, and so Christ does the healing, but he doesn't go to the house. He respects that man's individuality and how he's feeling. I think that's an important thing to point out. There was a sensitivity to the person, how they're built and how they were feeling, because he could have gone to the house. Maybe he was curious. I don't know, you know, but I like that part of the story. And we got up from the study, and Kevin was talking with someone, and I went over to one of the doorways. Somebody had called me over to give a prayer request, and we came back, and Kevin and I kind of joined up to go back over to the exit door, and there was this guy standing there. He had been kind of emotional during the time, and he was again emotional, and he said something like, "I'm just coming back after a long time away, and can you recommend, you know, what would you recommend me to read in the Bible?" So we recommended Psalms right off, because that could be very relatable to someone, a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. And then he said, I'm really trying to stop cussing. That was his first kind of thing out of the box. And we said, hey, don't worry about that, because that in the scope of things, that's a smaller stuff. Worry about your heart. Worry about drawing close to God. Worry about reading scripture and praying, and that stuff will fall later. You don't have to worry. Don't worry so much about that. And he's like, "Oh, okay, good." But it was a big relief to him. And I share that because that's also a human element that comes out in these times is these worries that are sometimes, they're not the core of things, but they're often what people go to first as the major concern. And if we can get beyond that, then I think it's helpful.
Kevin Riley is a pastoral advocate at Tierra Nueva and the pastor at Mount Baker Presbyterian Church in Concrete. He shares next.
So I was with Matt in the jail this last Thursday, and we were in the inmate worker pod. There was a new guy at the table that I hadn't met before, and he was back in county jail from prison after trying to get some of his stuff wrapped up. And in conversation, he had told me that before his incarceration that he had a year and a half clean and sober, that he had a two-year-old daughter. And I just kind of stopped him right there, and I was like, "Tell me about your daughter." And you just saw this guy smile and just like start glowing. And he goes, "Hold on a second." He goes running over to his bunk, and he comes back with a couple of pictures. And I have a daughter that's pretty much the same age. And so it was a real beautiful human connection, because I asked him, I said, "Well, when should you be out of prison?" And he said, "I should be out in March." And I said, "Hi, I'm Kevin." And he told me his name, and we shook hands, and I looked at him. I said, "Let's be friends." And he just kind of looked at me. I go, "We have daughters the same age, so why can't we let our kids play together when you get out of jail?" And it was just the light bulb of shock and awe went off, because he never thought somebody in a position like mine coming to him in a jail would want to be his friend outside of the jail.
Last is Pastor Mike Neely, Tierra Nueva Executive Director.
Yeah, so I was a couple Thursdays ago, was in, and QPod had four or five guys, and there's one guy who was sharing about issues that had been going on for a long time, and do you think you could pray about those things? And I said, yeah, I could pray about them, but it might actually be better if I did a one-on-one visitation with you, and then we could actually spend some more time in prayer. And everybody else at the table says, you do one-on-one visitations? I said, yeah, I do. And they're like, well, would you come visit me? And I said, yeah, just write your name down. So they, each of these guys wrote their names down, and so the next Monday I went in, and Kevin gave me the key to actually getting in, which is go at like 5 to 1, or right at 1 o'clock, because the lawyers haven't got back from their lunches yet, and so there's no line for the lawyers' booths. And since I started doing that, I've had no problem getting in to do visitation. Anyway, I ended up seeing three guys during that slot, and the first guy I wasn't even sure what the interaction was going to be like, and we end up talking about his ex-wife who divorced him, but he feels still really attached to her and wants there to be reconciliation. But the reason why he's in jail is because he keeps breaking no contact orders. And so we end up praying around. I ended up talking with him about soul ties and end up praying around like cutting negative soul ties so that if there's going to be reconciliation, it can be healthy reconciliation and it's not this other form of manipulation that he was stuck in. And then he left, and while I was waiting for the next guy, I just asked God, I said, is there something you want to share with this person? And the thought that came to me was Matthew 3. So I'm waiting, and I flip open to it, and it's the whole section on John baptizing people in the wilderness and eventually Jesus' baptism. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is about Jesus' baptism and that you're a beloved son. So I'm like all ready to share this. And he comes and just starts telling me about just this cycle of addiction and imprisonment and back out on the streets into crime and addiction and just being so done with this way of life and wanting to be done with it. And so I just shared the scripture and I said, I feel like John talks about baptism as a repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so we talked about repentance. We talked about really turning away from something and leaving the old life behind so that the new life could be born in us in Christ. And we had this great conversation, and I invited him to really turn itself against that old way of life and reject it and welcome Jesus in. And so we were able to pray that way, which is really cool. And so then he leaves, and then I asked God, well, what's on your heart for this next guy? And the thought that came to me was Philippians 4. And so I open to that, I read through it, and as we're talking, I end up sharing it with him, and particularly verses 6 through 8, which says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so I just said, are you ever anxious about things? He's like, oh my gosh, yes. You know. And I said, me too. And this is what God says is the antidote to that. And so we talked about that, and then we prayed, and we thanked God for being at work in his life, and then offered up those things we were anxious about and invited his peace to come in. And it was really beautiful to be able to take those times in the one-on-ones.
Here's a plug for our Christmas gift drive. Every year we gather gifts, wrapping supplies, and funds to distribute to families with incarcerated parents and relatives. Last year, we partnered with 12 area ministries, organizations, student groups, individuals, and we blessed 100 local kids. We're doing it again this year, and you can help. By Monday, December 10, collect gifts and wrapping paper, help us sort them at our building, send us funds for supplies, and to fill the gaps of what's needed. This is the Jail Ministry Share episode of our podcast. Tierra Nueva is a Christian ministry that seeks and gathers and equips God's lost sheep with the transformative power of Jesus. We minister with people experiencing incarceration, homelessness, addiction and recovery, migrant workers and immigrants, and everywhere in between. Find out more about our work on this podcast on our Facebook, Instagram, and website. Thank you for listening to the Tierra Nueva podcast.